So today is Christ the King, per the traditional calendar, always the Sunday before All Saints and All Souls. I like to say it's well positioned there because we're called to be that army. There's actually one of the prayers in there is the militia it uses in there, which properly translate would be army. We're called to be that army. And I don't know about you, but I have a sense, right or wrong, and I could very well be wrong. I've been wrong about these things before. But I have a sense that we're heading toward a watershed moment. Watershed simply just means a historical turning point. And I'm talking about a turning point toward the good, or rather toward God. And I just think it's on its way. One of the reasons I think it's on its way is because I think that the faithful are being rousted, are being awakened, are being jostled into standing up and doing everything they can to stand against, and I've been calling it a tyranny, okay, that it's a tyranny of the radical secular dogma that has been, and remember that things like redefining marriage is only 6 years old. And we knew it would happen if we started opening up bathrooms to both genders. It's obvious, and it just so on and so forth. But this has all kind of come in just in the last few years. I think it was set up for this. So we passed through some very weak or even evil presidencies in the last 25 years. And then we had a wrecking ball that did what he could, but they trained the culture to hate him. And now we've got this going on. And, you know, people can say, oh, wait, you're talking about politics. We're talking about tyrannical evil. If it's a politician, or if it's a general in an army, whatever it is, it's bad. It's not of God. It's godless. It's anti-God. And so we need to stand against it. And so I just believe that this watershed moment is very near. But I think that we need to pray it in as best we can. I know we just did a 54-day rosary novena, but there's two priests, they're brothers, blood brothers, the Fathers Blount, that are encouraging people to join them for a 54-day rosary novena that goes from tomorrow, All Saints, till Christmas Eve. So that's 54 days, November 1st to December 24th. I encourage all of us to join them and this huge army they're getting together for this. And if you listen to the Brothers Blount, the Brothers Father Blounts, they're on the same page, and I pray you're on the same page too, that it's way past time that we stand against this bum rush, this flood, this tsunami of evil that is looking to take over and take us out. One of the phenomena that's going on right now is priests who speak out against this tyranny are being canceled, or they're being chilled. By chilling effect just means they threaten punishment, so you back away. They're being censored. And just a few days ago, Bishop Tolbin put out something on social media, and I wish I brought it over, but it's to the effect, where are all the John the Baptist to stand against the Herods of our times? So he was calling for John the Baptist to speak up. I know that I could do better. I call it strategy. I think it's mixed with fear because of the chilling effect. You know, that we'll be punished if we speak out too loudly. I don't worry about the culture punish me, but I worry about our church. And I've watched and seen the chilling effect caused by, they say it's in the hundreds now, of priests who are identified by two ways. They speak out, they're the John the Baptist against the Herods. No, that's considered divisive, and we don't like your tone and manner. As we read about John the Baptist calling the Herods of their day and the Pharisees the brood of vipers. You know, Jesus would even say, you know, that you should have a millstone put around your neck and throw him in the sea. Jeepers, Jesus and John the Baptist, a little tone and manner there. You might want to tone it down a little. Do you see? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And so there's this chilling effect that way as well. So you have to end up, measuring your message so that it doesn't go too far in the eyes of those who want nothing with John the Baptist in our time. Today we celebrate Christ the King. This is a great feast in which we honor him as King of the universe, but most certainly King of the United States of America. This culture, this America, cannot survive unless we're well connected to God and his will. What does that mean then? Then we're doing it God's way, which means what? Which means we put things like putting our neighbor ahead of ourselves first in our lives, approaching each other with great charity and mercy, not lying, not cheating, not stealing. You know, so we keep ourselves, and you can see if a culture ever fully embraced Christ is their king, and the way of Christ. Imagine that. Imagine that. I mean, you could just leave your house and your car unlocked. And I do remember when I was growing up, you know, we would leave the wallet in the seat of the car and the car unlocked, maybe even the keys in the ignition. Because America was really strong at that time. You didn't have to worry so much. Now look what we're looking at. Why? Because we've become so weak and so divided and so disconnected from God. So, I'm asking, listen, here's what I'm going to do. You can do whatever the Holy Spirit puts on your heart. But I do believe that this is a very serious watershed moment that we're facing, and I want to pray it in. And so I'm going, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Well, he says, what have I told you? So add mortification to your prayer is one. I'm going to do that. Maybe more intense than I've ever done it, starting tomorrow. So I could be loyal to these 54 days. I'm going to do the 54 days with the brother priests. And the other thing I want to shore up, because I've done this for years, but sometimes I'm doing it more often than others. I'm going to do it every day. What am I talking about? I'm going to build my holy alliance, or continue to build it. What do I mean by that? Here, I brought my grandma's prayer book. She's got holy cards to about a gazillion saints in here. They're her personal army, or I call it the Holy Alliance. So she would pray with the saints. And she's also got names in here of people she would pray for who are in purgatory, the holy souls in purgatory. So she would have her army of saints, but she would also collect her army of holy souls who are so grateful. Fulton Sheen, I don't have the quote in front of me, but he said, when we enter heaven, there they'll be coming at us to hug us and with gratefulness. And we'll say, who are they? These are the holy souls that you prayed out of purgatory into heaven. They're so grateful. So this past week we had on what we jokingly call the purgatory leader, but Susan Tassoni. You know, this is a woman who was big in the corporate world. And then at one point she was the public relations person for Cardinal George in Chicago. But at one point she had a spiritual experience and felt a strong call to help all of us to restore our dedication to praying with the saints for the holy souls in purgatory. We actually had her out after she wrote the book by that title in 2011. I think she wrote the book in 2009 or 2010. But I leaned into it so much that I put the whole teaching inside my first book I ever wrote. I wrote this in 2012. But I said, it's got to be a part. This is called a Church Militant Field Manual, Special Forces Training for the Life in Christ. See, we're not meant to go it alone, and I believe this. We're meant to join forces, yes, with each other here in the Church Militant on Earth. But we're meant to be joined with the communion of saints, Church Militant in Purgatory, the Church Penitent, and the Church Triumphant in Heaven. We're meant to be a mighty force to be reckoned with. But see, God set it up this way. You can choose to join forces or not. Okay, do you want to build up your army or not? And so the teaching is quite simple. First of all, gain a plenary indulgence for a holy soul in purgatory. Pray with a saint for the holy soul in purgatory. Now you've engaged the relationship with the saint, like Grandma did, right? Her own personal saint that she would pray with and for all the time. So you've engaged the relationship with the saint. Then you're praying for the holy soul in purgatory, either moving them closer to heaven or getting them all the way. Plenary versus partial indulgence. I don't want to spend a lot of time this morning, so I'm going to ask you to go and just get the teaching on what are the requirements for a plenary indulgence and what are the requirements for a partial indulgence. But here I'm going to end with this. We need to build up that holy alliance so that we become stronger. See, I want to have your back, your six. I want you to have mine. But we want the same with the holy souls and the saints in heaven. And so there's actually four ways that you can gain an indulgence any day. First of all, I want to say that you can go for November, you can go to a cemetery and pray for the holy souls. You get a plenary indulgence for that. The Vatican extended it this year for whatever reason from not just November 1st to the 8th, but now all of November. So there's that way. But I call these the big four. These are the four ways that any day that you can gain a plenary indulgence. And I don't know of any others that fit that description. Otherwise, you got to wait for dates and other things to happen to gain a plenary indulgence. But these you can get any day. The first one is adoration of the Blessed Sacrament for at least a half hour. You know, we're called to get as close as we can to God. Think about what a holy soul in purgatory is. You know, there's a story of Joe and Max. Joe was a womanizer, a boozer, but Max followed the Ten Commandments, wanted to please God at every moment, worked hard in his relationship with God throughout his life. Now, they both died on the same day. Just before Joe died, he repented. Now, are they going into heaven at the same time? In God's justice, no. Joe's got a little work at what? He didn't spend the time that Max did trying to get as close as he could to God. And so what purgatory is, and some say it's like painful fire or like hell. I don't believe that, and I think the best teachers in the church don't believe that. But it is painful, and here's why. Because you're looking off to heaven. And you're not there. You're going to be there someday. But you see what? You long to be close to God. You see it from purgatory and you can't get there yet. And so what is God doing in purgatory? In essence, he's building up our longing to be as close as we can to God. See, Joe spent his lifetime doing Joe stuff, not God stuff. He didn't have that longing that Max had and worked at it, built throughout his life. Max, and this is the way I've been framing it lately, I just want you to be proud of me, Abba, my Father in heaven. I long to be as close as I can. I actually want to come to Eucharistic adoration because that's such a special time. Do you see all throughout Max's life, he was yearning, longing, and trying his best to get as close to God. So maybe he might get right to heaven, but certainly in a quicker time than Joe, who needs to develop that longing at some point. They're both going to end up in heaven someday, but purgatory is about that. The church suffering, they call it. You know, because, oh, they're over there and I can't be with them. I can't be close to God. So they build the longing. So I say adoration helps us with that. It really does. It's that one-on-one. That's why our grandparents and great-grandparents wouldn't pass by a church without coming in for a chapel visit. Because adoration includes before the Blessed Sacrament. Do we have that kind of longing? Where we go, oh, cool, a church. I could just spend some close, intimate time with Jesus before the tabernacle. If we don't, let's work on that because we probably have to have it either worked out in this life or the next. Are you kidding what I'm saying here? We want to build that up. So adoration is one of the primary ways to do that. So that's the first way of the big four I call it. The second way is more accessible. The church allows, if you spend 30 minutes devoutly reading sacred scripture, that can gain a plenary indulgence if you have the right conditions. And then the third one is devoutly performing the Stations of the Cross, but not at your home where you maybe drew the stations on your wall, but you have to do it, the condition is you have to do it before approved stations. And then finally, of the big four, it's recitation of the rosary, and you can pray it alone in a church and gain the plenary indulgence. But if you're away from the church, they say, well, then pray it with another family member or members in order for it to qualify for a plenary indulgence. So, you know, driving alone in your car wouldn't qualify for this particular plenary indulgence. All right, tomorrow's the day. All Saints' Day. And All Souls is the next. A time for us to thank God, first of all, for the communion of saints. But let's make it a big deal in our lives. Let's do all that we can to truly try to engage in a relationship with them where we have each other's back. We have each other's six. We look out for each other. I've been doing this Building Your Holy Alliance thing now for, I don't know what it's been, 8-10 years. I've got thousands of saints and thousands of holy souls built up in my own personal holy alliance. That's a big deal. They're right here, right now. They're helping me. They're praying for me. We need to do that ourselves, just like our grandmas used to do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.